The Hand of the Hunter by Gaylord Meech. With Gary Waldhorn as Richard, John Turner as Krieger, Kate Harper as Louise, and Harry Taub as Onslow.
Probably for you.
Richard, for heaven's sake, I'm in the tub.
All right. Louise is in the tub.
Beg your pardon?
I said Louise is in...
Louise who?
Who is this?
My name's Onslow, Sheriff Onslow. I'm talking to you from up here in New Hampshire.
Why on earth are you calling me?
Well, sir, that's to do with the kind of problem we got.
I'm part of your problem?
In a way. You see, we got a body here with no ID except your phone number in his pocket.
A body?
A dead body.
With my phone number?
This is your phone.
Yeah, it's my phone.
If you'd kindly give me your name, sir.
I'm sorry, but how do I know you are who you say you are?
Well, you got to hang up and call Corby County Police Headquarters. Collect, of course.
All right. My name's Bonner, Richard Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Bonner. Now, can you tell me if you know of anybody who might have been visiting this area recently?
Not that I can think of.
None of your friends, skiers?
I can't think of anyone offhand. How did this person die?
With him. She's still alive but unconscious in the hospital, so we can't get anything out of her at the moment. There was a driver's license and address book in her coat pocket. Does the name Julie Drummond ring any bells?
No, it's not familiar.
It turns out she's got a father also in the Boston area, but it looks like he's proven disappeared.
This dead man, can you give me some idea what he looks like?
Big, over 6 foot, dark hair, 30 to 35, I'd say.
Well, that could be a lot of people.
Maybe either of you from somebody else. Would you mind telling me, sir, in your line of work, do you keep a list of people you deal with?
Only a mailing list. My trade is used in rare books.
Uh-huh.
Well, sorry, I just don't see what else I can do to help you.
Well, sir, I'm afraid there is something else you're going to have to do. Since this guy had your number, there's got to be some connection between the two of you, and somebody's got to identify the body.
How can I identify somebody I don't know?
Excuse me, sir. But you don't know him now, do you? Not till you've seen him, anyway.
Richard, is that for me?
No.
I hate to break into your weekend, but this shouldn't take more than a few hours. Now that we know who you are, we can arrange to have you picked up and taken out to the airport where there'll be a chopper waiting.
Look, isn't there any other way to do this?
You want us to bring the body to you?
No, thank you.
That's right, sir. May as well make the best of a bad job. Maybe you'd like to stick around and get on a little ski.
I don't ski.
What was all that about?
Would you believe I've been invited to New Hampshire to identify a dead body?
Since I talked to you, we've had a break.
Oh?
We finally got a hold of Miss Drummond's father. We talked to his neighbors, called his colleagues, but nobody knew where he'd gone. It turns out he'd started driving up to see his daughter and got stalled with the snow coming his way. He finally got to a phone and called the highway patrol. When they found out who he was, they brought him right up here.
Has he identified the body then?
He put a name to it.
So you've just wasted my time?
Oh, no, not necessarily. You might be able to tell us something more about this man.
I doubt it.
The name Mr. Drummond gave us was Jared Ruggles. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, my God.
That does ring a bell.
Yes, I'm afraid it does, if it's the same Jared Ruggles.
Well, tell me, how many Jared Ruggles can there be?
The Jared I knew was one of a kind.
Why didn't you think of him right away?
Because he lives in California now.
Uh-huh. When was the last time you saw him?
Oh, some years, but we always exchanged Christmas cards.
What did you mean about his being one of a kind?
He had a brilliant mind. Most brilliant I've ever known. We grew up together. At school, he was always miles ahead of everybody else without even trying. I considered it a privilege to be his best friend.
What line of work was he in?
Science. Biochemistry, mainly, I think. I understood he did things for the government from time to time.
Can you remember his address in California?
Not at the moment, but I'll try.
Uh-huh. Did he have a family?
No children, but a wife. I haven't seen Marion since they moved out to the coast, but she's a terrific gal, completely devoted to him. This is going to be hell on her.
How devoted was he?
What do you mean?
Well, it kind of looks like he run off with this Drummond girl.
I'm sorry, but that doesn't sound like Jared's style at all.
Still, you never can tell, can you?
I'm stunned. Really stunned. Can you tell me how it happened?
Your friend was pretty stiff when they brought him in. It looks like the two of them were out there before dawn, but after the snow stopped. It was down to 30 below last night. The only reason the girl didn't freeze, too, was because he'd either fallen on top of her or laid on her to keep her warm. We can't tell which. But what's even harder to explain is what they were doing a couple of miles up from the village. Now, nobody in their right minds goes sledding in the middle of the night, in the dead of winter. That is, unless they were deliberately trying to do themselves in.
You mean a suicide pact?
Something like that.
Well, I don't believe that either.
Well, he's dead. There's no getting around that.
No, there's no getting around that.
I've got my man checking around the motels and boarding houses to see if anybody signed in under that name. But if he was on the run, he'd probably make one up. It sure would help if we had some idea what he was doing here.
I wish I knew, but I'm afraid your guess is as good as mine.
You just said he worked for the government sometimes. Supposing he was carrying something he shouldn't, like classified information.
There's no need to turn this into a spy story. I'm sure he'd never do anything so foolish.
But you don't know that either, do you?
What about the girl's father? Didn't he know where they were staying?
Nope. All he knew was they were headed this way. I figure he got worried about her being alone with your old friend, though he didn't say as much.
What did he say?
Well, he took one look at the body and said, "That's Jared Ruggles," and rushed off to see his daughter. But from the way he looked, he'd either seen a lot of stiffs before, or he was just as well satisfied to see this one laid out on a slab.
How were they found?
A weather helicopter spotted them. Just in the nick of time, as far as the girl was concerned. Hey, have you come up with that address yet?
Hmm? No, I'm sorry, not yet.
I guess you must be wondering why he was carrying your phone number around, if he didn't try to get in touch with you.
Yes, I am.
You sure he didn't? Get in touch with you, I mean?
Yeah, of course I'm sure. You think I'm lying?
I didn't say so. Well, maybe he tried a couple of times, then hung up when you answered.
So? Everybody gets calls like that.
Maybe he was afraid you wouldn't understand.
Understand what?
What he'd done, or what he was about to do.
If you mean contemplating suicide, I'm sorry, I just can't buy that.
So, he was close by and he had your number. Now, what do you figure stopped him calling you?
If he'd actually left Marion high and dry, he might think I wouldn't be too sympathetic and he'd be right. I only wish there was some way she could be spared knowing about the circumstances.
Well, we just have to see about that. Anyhow, do you think he would have talked to you if he was in some other kind of trouble?
I'll never know that now, will I?
That's true enough. And if he had any troubles, they're gone now. That's your first visit to a morgue?
Yes.
It's not so bad. They keep it nice and clean. You won't smell anything bad or anything.
Well, thanks for the assurance.
And there aren't any marks on your friend's face. He just looks asleep.
But you don't have to say any more. I'll be all right.
Okay. Here we go, then. Hi, Lou.
Hi, Sheriff.
Come to have another look at that fellow we brought in frozen this morning.
Sure thing. Real peaceful looking, ain't he?
What's the matter, Mr. Bonner?
Better watch him, Sheriff. He looks like a thumper to me.
That's not him.
What?
That is not Jared Ruggles.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Well, don't forget, you haven't seen him for a while.
This man looks nothing like him.
I don't get it. Why would Drummond say he was?
I don't know. Can we get out of here now?
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Lou. Guess that's it.
My pleasure, Sheriff.
You look kind of unsteady, Mr. Bronner. There's a cafe just across the way. Let's go grab a cup of coffee. Are you buying this fella's name was Jared Ruggles, too?
No, are you?
Well, I'd say it was a pretty long shot, but...
Now, wait a minute. I think I remember Jared's address now.
Oh, good. Will you jot it down for me? But Supposing it was the name he gave Mr. Drummond and it wasn't his. What was the idea of letting it off your friend?
You're asking me?
Anyhow. Do you mind coming down to the station with me while I try to get through to the real Ruggles?
No, of course I don't mind.
You'll want a word with him yourself.
Yes, but not now.
Why not?
Well, what can I say? Glad to hear you're not really dead?
Yeah.
Just tell him I'll be in touch soon.
Sure. You feeling better now?
I guess so.
You still look kind of green around the gills. Are you sure you never saw that fella before?
I can't say for certain. There was something vaguely familiar about him, but then a lot of people look vaguely familiar.
Maybe he'll come back to you. Like this address.
Well, I'm not sure I want it to come back to me.
Well, I got through to California.
Was Jarrett there?
No, but I talked to the cleaning lady.
I hope she breaks it to them gently.
would you like another cup of coffee, Mr. Bonner? There's a machine down the hall. It's pretty rotten coffee, but it's hot and...
Well, okay, Sheriff. Spit it out.
Well, I hate to break it to you on top of everything, but your friend Ruggles is missing.
Missing? What do you mean, missing?
Well, just that. Nobody knows where he is, not even his wife.
Well, this is crazy. Marion must have some idea. I got to talk to her right away.
I'm afraid you can't. Not for a few days, anyway.
What do you mean? Don't tell me she's disappeared, too.
No, no. As a matter of fact, well, she's gone into a hospital for cancer treatment. But I can tell you the hospital if you want to send a card or something. Hey, say, where are you going? Hey, Mr. Bonner, wait up.
What is it now?
Well, I just want you to know I'm sorry about all this. That's rotten luck.
I don't know that luck has anything to do with it.
Well, anyway, you don't want to stand around here in that light coat. The sun's going down. It'll probably hit 30 below again tonight.
What are you going to do about the dead man?
Well, we've sent a description to Washington and all that. We'll just have to wait and see what to come up with.
The girl?
The hospital says she's out of danger. Oh, by the way, we found out where they were staying. We got an old character here named Gehrig who's got a cabin up near where they were found.
So that's that.
Looks like it. Come on. I'll drive you to the airport.
Aren't you going up to the cabin?
Oh, no, it's too late now. That'll keep till morning.
I'd like to go with you.
What for?
I owe it to Marion, not to mention Jarrett, to try and find out if this man had anything to do with his disappearance.
Well, okay, if you feel that strong about it. Matter of fact, you might be able to see some connection I wouldn't.
Thanks.
Mrs. O won't mind putting you up for the night.
Oh, it's kind of you to offer. I'll just go check into a hotel.
Are you kidding? You won't find a broom closet. Not with skiing conditions as good as this. Come on. I'm knocking off for the day anyhow.
Are you sure your wife won't mind?
Oh, hell no. We got plenty of room now with the kids gone. She still does a pot roast every weekend. And there's always enough for a small army.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Morning. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Think nothing of it.
This is Mr. Bonner.
How do you do, Mr. Bonner? My name is Krieger.
How do you do?
I think we'd better go into my office where it's quiet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mr. Krieger's come up special to help us with our problem.
Oh? I understand that you knew Jarrett Ruggles.
I knew a Jarrett Ruggles.
Is your hometown Asheville, Connecticut?
That's right.
Then I figure we're talking about the same guy.
What's your interest in Jarrett?
He's a missing person. We have to track down any lead, no matter where it crops up.
You give this kind of service for every missing person?
Sure.
Well, that's very reassuring.
Shall we go now?
Go?
Up to the cabin.
I thought that was Sheriff Onslow's job.
The sheriff is going to be busy right here, aren't you, Sheriff?
That's right.
Well, thanks again for the warm bed and the pot roast.
Our pleasure.
Shall I say goodbye? I don't know if I'll see you again before I leave.
Well, you know where we are now, don't you? Drop in any time.
Ready, Mr. Bonner?
It's your first ride in a snowmobile, Mr. Bonner.
Yes, and I hope it'll be the last.
You should have worn a heavier coat.
Yeah, that's what Sheriff Onslow told me.
It's going to be just as cold in the cabin as it is out here.
Don't worry about me. I'll survive.
Yeah, that must be it. Just behind the pines there. Looks peaceful, doesn't it?
Quiet as the grave.
Primitive, isn't it?
You have a look through these books. I'll see if there's any kind of identification in these bags here.
Not exactly light reading. Varieties of religious experience, the words of Buddha, life of St. Teresa.
There's nothing much in this one. Change of socks and underwear, a couple of heavy sweaters.
Bhagavad Gita. The way of Zen.
Yeah, here's another one for you. Looks old.
It certainly is. This is the 1725 edition of de Motteville's Volage and Travail.
Now, that's something special?
Very special to me. This book was recently stolen from my shop.
Have you seen Mr. Drummond yet?
Yes, late last night.
I like to talk to him myself.
He might guess. He's staying with some friends in town and near the hospital. Now, I'll show you the house as soon as we get back. But if you get anything interesting out of him, I want to know about it.
Sure.
And don't let him intimidate you. He's very British and very correct.
I know how to handle it. Some of my best friends are. British, I mean.
Yes?
Is Mr. Drummond in?
I'm Professor Drummond.
I'd like to have a few words with you.
Are you from the police?
No, I was called in to identify the body of the man your daughter was with.
You knew him?
No, I didn't.
Then I don't understand.
Well, neither do I. It's pretty cold out here. You mind if I come in for a few moments?
Oh, very well.
How is your daughter today?
They say she'll be able to have visitors soon.
That's good. I'd like to talk to her myself.
You're not a friend of hers, are you?
No.
Are you with a newspaper? Because if you are, neither I nor my daughter have anything to say.
No, I'm not with a newspaper.
Then who the devil are you?
Here's my business card.
All right. Now tell me what's so important.
You identified the body as Jared Ruggles.
That's correct.
You're absolutely sure that was the name he gave you?
Well, of course I'm sure. It's not a name that's easily confused with others, is it?
No. I know a man named Jared Ruggles.
Someone last night told me that another Jared Ruggles had disappeared recently.
Ah.
Now I see why you're interested.
You must be interested to find out who your daughter's friend really was.
He's dead. What more do I need to know?
Like that, was it?
Look, I don't know what you're implying. I only met the man a few times, and I've had to adopt a very casual attitude towards my daughter's friends. I've been accused of scaring them off, which is why I suppose she took an apartment when she has a perfectly good home.
Didn't you even find out what he did for a living?
As far as I could tell, he'd been living more or less hand to mouth.
Do you know if he'd been out to the West Coast?
I really can't recall.
Did he give you any idea what his education or background was?
No, not really. But when I mentioned the fact that my wife had died, tears came to his eyes. He said he knew how I must feel, so I assume he'd had a similar experience.
You think it was genuine emotion he was showing?
Considering he may have been using a false name, it's hard to determine what was genuine about him.
Your daughter must have thought he was genuine enough.
She didn't confide her thoughts to me. Now tell me, why are you so interested in my impression of him?
Because it's all I've got to go on at the moment. You see, the only thing they found on him was a scrap of paper with my phone number on it.
I hope you're not imagining that I would know why.
Did your daughter ever mention my name to you?
No, I'm sure not. There must have been some other reason why he had your phone number.
Such as what?
I really can't think. I'm not a mind reader.
How long had your daughter been seeing this man?
He only came to my attention a few weeks ago.
Is your daughter interested in books?
Of course she is.
Does she collect them?
Now, what on earth has this to do with anything?
Well, I've been to the cabin where they were staying, and I found a book there that had been stolen from my shop.
I hope you're not accusing my daughter.
No, of course not, but she might know something about it.
My daughter's head may have been turned, but not so far as to make her an accomplice to a criminal action.
I didn't say that.
You suggested it. Why don't you simply put the blame where blame is due?
Just talking about it makes you angry, doesn't it?
I don't think my feelings are any of your business. Only, well, I was getting very worried about his influence over my daughter. When I heard they'd come up here, I was afraid they might be eloping or something equally silly.
What specifically worried you about him?
Oh, there was nothing specific. Everything about him was disturbing. His manner, quite unnatural.
Unnatural? How do you mean?
It's hard to describe. A kind of still intensity, like the eye of a storm. My first fear was that he was on drugs and had introduced them to my daughter, but I found no evidence of that. His manner of speaking was mild and even, but suddenly his expression would go as cold and hard as a calculating machine.
Do you think there was some cold calculation in his having my phone number?
Well, I suppose he might have been planning to get at you in some way.
Get at me? After taking a book from my shop, I don't see the logic in that.
Don't bother trying. He seems to dismiss logic. His conversation, what there was of it, bore slight relation to what was going on around him.
You're saying he was playing crazy?
No, not exactly. But it may have been an act put on for my benefit. Again, I've no idea.
Maybe your daughter could explain the contradictions to me.
Of course, I can't forbid you to see her, Mr. Bonner. But I want her to get well and put all this out of her mind as soon as possible.
I appreciate that, but would you at least tell her of our conversation?
I'll consider it.
Thank you.
Nurse, would you change the drip in room 42?
It's Mr. Bonner, isn't it?
That's right. Thank you for letting me come see you.
I hope it'll be worth your while.
I'm sure it will be. How are you feeling?
Sore all over.
Anyway, you're very lucky.
Lucky?
To be alive, I mean.
Yes. I've been thinking about that book of yours.
Oh. Yeah?
Do you believe he stole it?
I just wonder how he came by it.
It could have passed through other hands after it was taken, couldn't it?
That's possible, of course, but...
But what?
I do have the vague impression I'd seen him somewhere before, and I can't think where else it might have been except my shop.
That doesn't automatically make him a thief.
Not automatically, no, but it was no accident that my phone number was in his pocket. Unless you'd like me to believe someone slipped it there.
Perhaps...
Perhaps what?
Perhaps he was thinking of you.
But he never claimed he knew me, did he?
No.
Excuse me for saying it, but if you knew so little of what was on his mind, how can you be so sure he wasn't a thief?
Why are you so concerned about your precious book? You'll get it back, won't you?
It isn't the book I'm so concerned about as the man who had it. Please believe me, I'm not determined to think badly of him. I just want to know more.
I know my father thought he was out to get something, but he wasn't like that at all. It never occurred to him to ask if I had any money. The ordinary, everyday things that people worry about seem to pass over him. He only concentrated on what he found important. It gave him the kind of detachment of the dying.
Well, that doesn't sound very cozy.
I thought you were trying to keep an open mind.
I am, but I'm at a disadvantage, never having met him. Your father said his conversation seemed illogical.
I suppose it would have to old Bulldog Drummond.
But not to you.
Not when I got used to it. You see, sometimes he'd anticipate what you were going to say and answer a question before you asked it.
Well, that's not such an unusual gift for a sensitive person.
It was more than that. He had the ability to think about several things at once. No wonder it made my father nervous.
And you had no doubts about his sanity?
I suppose my father put that into your mind as well.
He did say he suspected him of taking drugs.
He didn't even drink, and no, I had no doubts about his sanity.
Did he talk to you at all about his past?
Well, not directly.
Weren't you curious about it?
Of course I was.
But you never questioned him?
Once or twice, but I could see it gave him pain, so I stopped. I thought that when he knew I'd never leave him, he'd tell me everything.
You loved him very much.
What do you think?
How do you feel now you know he was using a false identity?
You don't know for certain it was a false identity?
No, not for certain, but... What's the matter?
Pain in my back. It comes and goes.
Shall I call a nurse?
No, it's all right. I'm not due for another shot yet. They say it's just a matter of pulled muscles. Was there anything else you wanted to ask me?
I was wondering why you went to that cabin at this time of year.
It was the only place we could find without having a reservation.
Weren't you concerned about it being so isolated?
Not really. I could understand that he needed to get out of the city for a while to clear his mind. And he was used to roughing it.
What did he want to clear his mind of?
Just to clear his mind. I wanted to get away as well.
Would you tell me what happened that night?
I've already given my statement to Sheriff Onslow and some other character named Krieger.
Yes, and I'm sure it must have been very difficult for you, but I don't think I'll be able to rest easy until I'm sure that your friend is innocent of...
Innocent of what, Mr. Bonner?
Well, that I don't know. All I know is that I have a sense of justice, and that sense is being offended.
Very well. It had started snowing just before sunset. He collected wood while I made supper. Then we sat round the stove talking and reading.
Talking about what?
Philosophy, mostly. About 10 o'clock, he fell asleep with his book in his lap. I didn't want to disturb him, so I put a blanket over him and went to bed. I didn't sleep very well. The bed was cold without him, and it smelled of sour grass. I don't know when I became fully awake. It was still dark. He was standing by the window. He said the snow had stopped, and he felt like sledding down to the village.
Didn't that strike you as kind of crazy?
No. It sounded like a wonderful idea. And outside, everything was so beautiful, all black and white. Funny. I don't remember the cold particularly.
Can you go on?
He got onto the sled on his stomach, and I laid on top of him. I remember we both started laughing as the sled started down the slope. It went faster and faster, but I wasn't frightened in the least. I didn't see the ravine. The snow was so even, and there were no shadows. All I knew was that I was falling through space. And then there was nothing.
There's one more question I have to ask. Is it possible he knew the ravine was there?
I hope you're not suggesting what I think you are.
I'm just trying to picture it.
He saved my life, you know.
So it would seem.
You have such ugly little minds. You think he tried to kill me, and Sheriff Onslow wanted me to say that it was a suicide pact.
Was it?
No. No, he loved life. That's why it's so hard to believe he's dead. With almost anyone else, I could accept it, but... For him, it's an obscenity.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for nothing. Now, please, I'm very tired.
Of course, I won't disturb you anymore. I'm just going back to Boston. Shall I leave you my address and phone number?
What for?
Well, when you're out of here feeling better, you might want to...
Want to what?
Well, talk some more about him.
If I did, it wouldn't be to you.
I see. Well, thank you for talking to me.
Goodbye, Mr. Bonner.
Hello?
Richard, it's Marion. Marion Ruggles.
Oh, Marion, I just got in the door. Where are you calling from?
I'm still in the hospital, but I got your telegram. Thanks for the sympathy and all that.
Well, how are you?
Oh, not bad. They seem to be keeping it in check.
I'm certainly glad to hear that. Is there anything I can do?
About what?
I was thinking about Jared. Or would you rather not talk about it?
There's nothing much to talk about. He's just gone, that's all.
And you haven't heard anything else since?
Not a whisper.
Haven't you any idea what might have happened to him?
Try not to think about it.
Yeah, of course, I'm sorry.
Oh, on to the next subject. Tell me, how'd you get involved with this business of the dead imposter?
Well, I won't go into details, but I was roped in to identify him. As a matter of fact, I only just left.
What, you mean they haven't found out who he is yet?
I gather they're still checking, but they wired you a picture of the corpse, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And it rang no bells?
I'm afraid not. Well, Jared knew so many people. They floated in and out of the lab in his office all hours of the day and night.
And you surely have remembered a man as good-looking as that.
Not necessarily. California is full of lovely men. In any event, He'd hardly been using Jared's name.
Hardly.
It really could have been anybody who knew that Jared was missing.
I did have another idea. Is it possible that Jared was involved in anything to do with parapsychology?
Oh, as a matter of fact, that's what his last research project was about.
Do you know what he was doing?
Only vaguely. We made it a rule not to talk shop at home. So, I think it was something to do with monitoring brain activity.
Any idea who he was using?
Oh, not a clue. What? Did you think this man might have been involved?
Jared would have kept records, wouldn't he?
Yes, of course.
Would they still be in existence?
I'm sure the university's kept everything.
Would it be asking too much, Marion, if once you're out, you look them up for me?
Well, sure. What makes you think you'll find anything there?
I don't know. It's just a hunch, really.
What would I be looking for?
I don't know that either.
Swive!
Who is it?
It's Marion.
Oh, my God. Well, say hello for me.
Sorry, Marion. Louise just walked in. She says hello.
Tell her hello back.
I will.
Afraid I have to go now, Richard. Was there anything else?
Well, I can't think of anything at the moment, but I'm sure glad you called.
My pleasure. I'll be in touch as soon as I can get out of here.
Right.
Bye for now.
Mm-hmm. So, how is she?
Well, she sounded all right, considering.
Any word of Jarrett?
Not a thing.
Mm.
How are things in the shop today?
Fine.
Any problems?
Nothing I couldn't handle.
Anything interesting come up?
Not in the shop. All the interesting things are happening to you.
Oh, so it would seem. Shall I make some coffee?
Why don't you let me?
I'm perfectly capable of making a pot of coffee.
Oh, yeah? So, tell me, have you found out who this mystery corpse is?
Not so far.
From what you told me on the phone, he must have been quite a character.
Yeah.
Hmm. What exactly did the girlfriend say about our 1725 to Modeville?
Claimed he was incapable of stealing.
Oh, well, that already separates him from most of us.
According to her, he was altogether something else.
Ah, that's love for you.
I think he took the to Modeville all right, but not for any of the usual reasons.
For what, then?
For a test.
Come again?
I'm sure he met Jarrett in California.
What's that got to do with our book?
I'll have to go the long way around.
Okay, I'm listening.
There's something I never told you about. When Jarrett and I were kids...
Well?
Well, you're not likely to believe this either.
Try me.
I found I could read his thoughts.
You're right. I don't believe it.
Well, it's true. Started one day when we were walking back from school, not saying anything. All of a sudden, I knew he was going to stage a fit just to scare me. When I stopped him, the young scientist in him was intrigued. After that, we tested my reactions as best we could without proper control, sitting up in his attic usually, with me facing away so I couldn't read his expressions.
You mean you could actually hear him thinking away?
No, it wasn't like that. They were usually just sporadic impressions. Some signals were stronger than others, but I was generally right about the sequence.
Are you sure he wasn't just telling you that to get a rise out of you?
I don't think so. Jarrett was a great practical joker, but he never made fun of anything he was seriously interested in.
Well, why haven't you told me this before, apart from the fact that I wouldn't have believed you?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just wasn't there anymore. Since then, I haven't had even the tingling of a sensation like that from anyone.
Oh, not even me? No deja vu, no premonitions, even about what's happened to Jarrett then?
Not a thing. According to Marion, Jarrett was still interested in the paranormal.
Huh. So please tell me, what's all this got to do with our book?
I figure Jarrett told this man about my... whatever it was. This man may have thought he could activate the same response in me that Jarrett had. He comes into the shop with the idea of lifting the book to see if I'd react without my actually seeing him do it.
Oh, Richard, that sounds completely mad to me. What on earth has got into you? You're usually so level-headed.
It's the only way I can get things to fit together.
Look, why can't you just accept the obvious? The man had our number, maybe from Jarrett, maybe not. He drifts into town, sees your name in front of the shop, wanders in, and instead of introducing himself, pinches the first thing that catches his eye.
Okay. So why did he hang on to the phone number?
That coffee must be ready by now.
Well, I'm waiting.
Why did he hang on to the phone number?
That's what I asked.
Richard,
I've got only one thing to say.
What's that?
This coffee is terrible.
Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Bonner, this is Krieger. Remember me?
Yes.
Now, how's the weather your way?
Terrible. Rain mixed with snow.
That's fine where I am.
Is that what you wanted to talk about?
Well, as a matter of fact, we found out who the dead man was. Does the name Lawrence Malick mean anything to you?
No, I don't think so. No, I'm sure it doesn't.
Well, we've matched pictures and located his widow down in South Jersey. She was mighty surprised to hear from us.
Do you mind if I go see her?
Why not? It's a free country.
So they tell me. How did she take it?
Well, like I said, she was mighty surprised. She figured the only place she was ever going to see him again was in the great beyond.
Sorry, I don't follow.
According to her, he committed suicide 2 years ago.
Now, boss,
you said you'd see me.
Well, I didn't know how to say no, really. I better turn that down. I'll keep the picture on if it's all the same to you. Keeps me from feeling strange, you know.
Well, this must have come as quite a shock to you.
You know, when they told me, well, I just didn't believe it. I thought maybe I'd gone crazy or something. I'd just been dreaming the past 2 years.
Well, it'll take time to sink in.
When they took me to see him? Well, I don't know. I didn't want to believe it was him. But it was Lawrence, all right. Looking just the same, but asleep, you know. And I was only afraid to wake him. You knew Lawrence, did you?
Well, no, not exactly.
Sure, he was pretending to be someone else, wasn't he?
Seems that way.
Well, he'd have to be, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I suppose so.
This girl he was with, pretty, huh?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'm not surprised. He wasn't bad-looking himself, was he?
No.
I was always proud of having such a good-looking husband. Guess you think that's kind of silly, huh?
Not necessarily. Why did he do what he did?
That's not so easy to answer.
I wish you'd try.
Well, I think it was because he was trying to save me.
From what?
From him. Well, that's what he thought, anyways.
I don't understand.
I didn't either, but things happened.
Things?
Accidents, like. Well, one time, I was just getting out of the bath while he was drying his hair with the hairdryer, and it kind of slipped out of his hand. If I hadn't been out of the tub by then, see what I mean?
Yeah.
There were other things, not so bad. But it got to him so much that after a while, he didn't dare even touch me.
But you were sure they were accidents.
That's what I kept telling him. But he got it into his head that something was moving him, some kind of force he couldn't control. He said if it went on like that, it was going to end up him or me. I told him I was crazy, and he said maybe it was. But he wasn't going to stand by watching himself kill me.
So it wasn't hard for you to believe he was thinking of committing suicide.
That's right. In a way, I was kind of prepared for it. So when they found the note on the beach saying he was going to throw himself in, I said to myself, that's that. Of course, his brother Halvar didn't want to believe it. He even hired a private detective for a couple of weeks. Anyways, the body never turned up, so that was that.
His brother, does he live around here?
Yeah, but we don't see too much of each other.
I'd like to talk to him as long as I'm down this way.
Well, if you think it'll do any good. I'll give you his work number. He'll still be there. But don't mind what he says about me, though, huh?
Why should I?
Well, we never did get on too well. And I think he kind of blames me for giving up too easy after Lawrence was gone. But I didn't give up too easy. I gave his picture to the police and so on, and I never gave up hoping. Hasn't been a day gone by I don't miss him.
I'm sure that's true.
I got a boyfriend, see? He's been after me to get this cleared up because he wants to marry me. Well, I guess Lawrence has finally done it for us.
Mr. Bonner?
Mr. Malick.
Hop in.
Thanks.
You mind if we just drive around a while? It's like a madhouse at home. All the kids are just getting over the measles.
Well, that's all right with me.
I couldn't make out over the phone whether you knew my brother or not.
I feel as though I did.
Any idea what he was doing all this time?
Drifting, mostly, I gather.
Poor Lawrence. I wonder if he found any happiness.
I think he may have.
I hope you're right. It'd be kind of a waste starting a new life just to get miserable all over again.
How miserable was he?
Well, I don't like to say anything against Janice. She's a good girl in her way, but she wasn't for Lawrence.
Why?
Well, Lawrence had a mind, a good mind. He had a future, not like the rest of us schmucks. But he needed somebody to encourage him onto great things. All Janice was interested in was her house and a television set. He kept his feet firmly stuck in the mud, if you know what I mean.
Why did he marry her?
Mostly, I think, because she just kept after him. Once they got hitched, he was in for life. You saw her. A real clinging vine. She would never let him go.
That business about the accidents, how did you account for them?
You know the expression, accidentally on purpose?
Uh-huh.
It was sure clear to me that way down deep, he wanted to get rid of her. It must have been hell for him, like a trapped animal. The only thing different was his conscience, which wouldn't let him strike out deliberately. He really would have killed himself rather than hurt anybody.
Then why didn't you believe he'd kill himself?
At first, it was because I couldn't bear the thought of losing him, and then...
Yeah?
And then I found out he wasn't dead.
How?
He sent me a tape a couple of weeks after to explain why and try to make me feel better, I guess. But he told me not to tell anyone else about it. It doesn't matter now, who knows.
Could I hear it?
Well, I don't see why not. There's a stack of cassettes there in the glove compartment. I labeled it Beethoven's Melodies. Because my wife can't stand classical music. Wouldn't ever play it. There, you got it. Might be a little scratchy. I've played it a lot of times.
Hello, brother. I hope this won't knock you over. But I didn't want you to go on wondering, as I knew you would. I'm going to have to ask you to keep this to yourself. It won't do Janice any good to know I just walked off. Maybe this way she'll find someone else. Someone she'll be happy with. For myself, I go in search of something else. I did mean to drown myself, brother. I went down to the shore one day and sat on the beach for a long time looking at the sea. It was a beautiful, bright day. The light on the water was like a silver shower. I guess I sort of went into a trance. At first, I was terribly conscious of myself, of my body, as though it was the center of everything. And then it seemed to dissolve, to fade away into infinity. Everything became so clear to me, so sure. I was in a state beyond words. I felt I'd passed beyond death, that I'd shed my old self like a snake sheds its skin. It only lasted a few moments, but in those few moments, there was such joy. I came out of it with an awful feeling of loss. I'd have thrown myself in right then, but the thought came to me that if it could happen once, it could happen again. And if it happened again, it could be mine forever. I don't know where my search will take me, or if I'll ever find what I'm looking for. But I think I'm beginning to see a pattern. It's like Walt Whitman said, there's a kind of divine thread running through life. If you can get a hold of that, it can lead you to the meaning. Like a good scenting dog in the hand of the hunter.
Think he found what he was looking for?
I don't know. Not many of us do.
If anybody could have done it, it was Lawrence.
Well, I guess I'd like to think so, too. Hello.
Hi, Richard. It's me, Marion.
Marion, have they sprung you from the hospital yet?
Yes, they have. I've been doing some sleuthing for you.
Any luck?
Something odd, Richard. I went over to Jared's foundation and found that his section had been virtually sealed off.
What?
Yeah, I went to the head of the department, but his secretary said he was at a conference in Washington. I asked for a key to Jared's office. No key.
Huh.
Finally managed to get hold of one of his lab assistants. must have been suffering from amnesia because he couldn't remember a thing about Jared's last project.
Any idea what's going on?
I'd hate to say. The other thing is, well, I can't swear to it, but I've got a feeling the house was searched while I was in the hospital. Everything's in the right place, you know, but not quite.
Did Jared have a study at home?
Yes, yes, I've checked everything in there. I don't think anything's been taken, but then only he could say that for sure.
Well, Marion, thanks for trying.
Hey, hold it. I haven't finished yet. I picked up an old jacket at Jared's from the dry cleaners, and they'd obligingly pinned the contents of his pockets to the plastic cover.
And?
There's a printout here. It's quite a recent one. A list of names and vital statistics. I'd say the people were all under some kind of laboratory observation.
Anybody named Malik on the list?
No. Now, there is a name here.
Yeah?
It kind of stands out from the others. But don't forget Jared's wicked sense of humor.
How could I?
On the other hand, it
it's my name, isn't it?
Yes. But as I was going to say, maybe we're just jumping to conclusions. It's not such an unusual name, after all. It might have been quite a legitimate Richard Bonner.
Thanks, Marion, but I've already jumped. Is there anything that go with my name, like an address or phone number?
No. Just what looks like a lot of body temperature readings, levels of glandular secretions, things like that.
Tell me, Marion, did Jared ever mention me in any unusual way?
How do you mean?
In connection with his work, maybe, or the people he worked with.
Tell me about that experiment when you were kids, if that's what you mean. But in connection with his work, no. No, not that I can think of.
What did he say about our experiments?
Well, only that he thought you'd censored yourself, consciously or unconsciously. But that you had real intuitive power.
Well, I'll certainly need it now.
What are you going to do next?
I really don't know, so I won't keep you.
Okay, but if you think of anything else, you'll let me know.
I sure will, Marion. You take good care of yourself. Let me know if you hear anything at all. About Jared, I mean.
I certainly will. Oh, and you want me to send you this printout?
May as well. And thanks again for being such a good scout.
You're welcome, for whatever it's worth.
You folks want anything to drink before ordering?
What about you, Louise?
Yeah, I think I'll have a dry martini.
With onion, olive, or twist of lemon?
And olive, I suppose.
And you, sir?
A scotch. Over ice.
Right. Oh, by the way, I'd recommend the chicken chasseur if you haven't already made up your minds.
Do you mind if we think about
it? Not at all, sir. Thank you, sir.
Why?
Why what?
Why would Jarrett's foundation shut his office and tell everybody to clam up on Marion?
Well, maybe the psychic research was just a blind for something else. Something dirty.
Such as what?
Such as Germore.
Off a cliff.
Aw, you don't like it.
Well, I'll give you an A for imagination, but it doesn't explain how I got mixed up in this, and it certainly doesn't explain Lawrence Mallet.
Ah, that's simple. Depending on whose version you favor, he was either a fish-eyed fiend, a homicidal maniac, or an aspiring saint. Take your choice.
I wonder if he really was on some kind of wavelength the rest of us aren't privileged to reach.
Or what?
Or if he was just straight out of his skull.
Ah, what is sane?
Maybe Sheriff Onslow was right. Maybe that sled stunt really was a suicide pact.
Well, that's one way to end an affair.
Maybe he figured they'd be off to a better world.
A shortcut to paradise, you mean?
I don't know. I just can't shake the sensation that he hasn't gone far.
What wavelength are you on?
He's already died twice. Maybe he's got 9 lives, like a cat.
Cats don't steal books, unless they're cat burglars.
Oh, Louise.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to keep the tone light.
But what stopped him from calling me?
Okay. Assuming he knew that Malik had...
You're the dry martini with olive.
Thank you.
And you're the scotch over ice. Decided to order yet?
No, not yet.
Well, that's okay. Take your time. Don't let me rush you.
Thank you.
This isn't an olive. It's an onion.
Now, what were we assuming?
Well, assuming Jarrett knew that Malik had to use a different name, he must have known why.
Okay.
But supposing Malik starts thinking that Jarrett might blow his cover. Supposing he's so afraid of being discovered and having to own up to his wife that he...
That he what?
Well, Nobody's found Jared, alive or dead, as far as we know.
All right. Supposing Jared is dead.
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, Malik would know he'd be safe using Jared's name back east, as long as he knew Jared wouldn't be using it himself.
Ah, but if that was so, why would he risk coming to the shop and having me identify him as someone else?
Supposing, just supposing, he was overcome with remorse for doing Jared in. Supposing he lifted the book hoping you'd nab him.
But then got cold feet and ran with it.
Something like that.
And kept the phone number in case somebody should change his mind again.
Now you got it.
Oh, have I? I wonder.
Oh, Richard, for heaven's sake, it would explain why he killed himself.
And tried to take the girl with him?
Well, maybe she'd begun to suspect him.
If she knew something like that, would she do such a damn fool thing as get on a sled with him in the middle of the night?
Maybe she was so head over heels in love, she didn't even stop to think. Or something.
Come on, Louise. The girl isn't an idiot.
Just trying to help.
All right. Just for the sake of argument, let's say that Malik did know why Jared disappeared. Wouldn't it follow he'd do the decent thing like he did with his brother of leaving some sort of explanation?
I suppose it would, but he didn't send you a tape or anything.
Maybe he didn't have time. Maybe it's still in the cabin. We didn't search the place very thoroughly.
All right.
All right, what?
All right. You better go look. You won't be worth living with until you've figured this out.
It's my sense of justice.
Well, whatever it is, you'd better go while this thaw lasts. I don't want you stuck up there when they announce the last and biggest blizzard of the season.
I'll start first thing in the morning. Ready to order yet?
I'll be a devil and try chicken chasseur.
Right. Chicken chasseur it is.
Come in, Mr. Bonner.
What are you doing here?
About to ask you the same question. I'd appreciate it if you closed the door. I'm right in the draft.
I asked first. What are you doing here?
I'm kind of looking after you. Since I know we're going to be candid with each other, I should tell you I'm a federal agent. Here's my ID.
How long have you been shadowing me?
Me, personally?
You or whoever.
Since we first met.
What am I suspected of?
Nothing.
Then what's the point?
Well, we figured you might get reactions from some of the people we're interested in that we wouldn't. And you did. We wouldn't have found out about Malik's tape if we hadn't spotted you playing it in his brother's car.
Why didn't you just ask me about it instead of bothering the poor man?
Would you have betrayed his confidence if he'd refused to surrender it to us?
Probably not, unless I knew what for.
Jarrett Ruggles is the what for. If he surfaces, he might try to get in touch with you.
If? Is Jared alive and in some kind of danger?
Let's just say that he might need help.
Are you going to be any more candid with me than that?
Not at the moment.
What do you want me to do?
You can start by telling me what you're looking for here.
I thought Malik might have left another tape.
Not a chance. We've been over the place with a fine-tooth comb.
So where do we go from here?
I'd like you to go have a chat with Julie Drummond. We'll give you a small recording device to wear just in case your memory lets you down later.
And what am I supposed to say?
You could start by asking her how she enjoyed the West Coast.
Meaning?
Meaning that she was out there recently.
Her father didn't tell me that.
Did you ask him?
No.
Well, maybe that's why he didn't tell you.
What was she doing on the coast?
A research for a magazine article about ESP and the paranormal. Interesting coincidence that she'd only just got back when Malik appears out of the blue calling himself Jarrett Ruggles.
You think she knew him out there?
We've been checking it out.
You think she knew the real Jarrett Ruggles, too?
Considering that sort of thing was up his alley, it seems kind of funny she wouldn't at least have heard of him.
What did she say when you took her statement?
She denied knowing him. Now, what did she tell you?
You know, now that you mention it, I don't recall that his name even came up.
And then why don't you ask her now?
All right. I will.
You can also ask her what Malik was on.
What do you mean?
The coroner found traces of chemicals in his bloodstream, and they weren't aspirin.
Drugs?
That's what we want to know.
Her father thought he was spaced out on something, but she claimed that he didn't need anything for his highs. Now, why would she lie about something so obvious? She must have known there'd be an autopsy.
She probably figured it'd just be routine.
If it wasn't a routine autopsy, what else were you looking for?
Nothing.
How do you expect me to get what you want out of Julie Drummond if I'm kept in the dark?
Oh, don't worry about that for now. Just play it by ear. Act natural.
Speaking of bugging, have you had my phone tapped?
Now that you mention it.
And Marion's?
What do you think?
What was the idea of sealing Jarrett's office, keeping Marion from talking to his colleagues?
Just a precaution.
Against what?
Say, I don't know about you, but I'm freezing to death.
And why did you search his house? What were you looking for?
Oh, clues, Mr. Bonner, clues. By the way, you will give us that printout when you've done with it, won't you?
Do I have a choice?
Let's go, Mr. Bonner.
Will you tell me one thing? Off the cuff. Do you have any idea where Jarrett is?
We don't wear cuffs in the service.
Mr. Bonner.
Miss Drummond.
What do you want?
I wonder if you could spare me a few minutes.
Yes, all right. Come in.
How are you feeling now?
Feeling?
Now that you're out of the hospital.
Oh, I'm all right.
Oh, that's good.
Please excuse the mess. When I'm working, I tend to let everything else go. Would you like a cup of coffee?
Oh, no, thanks. I just had one. What are you working on?
I'm finishing an article.
Oh, really? What's it about, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, roughly, it's about ways of expanding your mental capacities.
Oh, that sounds very interesting.
It is.
That must have involved quite a lot of research.
Yes, it did. A lot of it was done on the West Coast.
Oh, really? You didn't mention that in the hospital.
Didn't I? Perhaps it was because I had other things on my mind.
Oh, of course, I appreciate that, but I wonder why you mention it now.
Because you asked me about the article. Anyway, I'm sure someone would have told you I was out there by now. It was no secret. Was there anything else, Mr. Bonner?
I'm trying to remember if we talked about the Jared Ruggles.
I really can't recall.
He was an old friend of mine, you know.
Really?
Since your article is kind of specialized and you were on the West Coast, I wondered why you hadn't heard about Jared. I mean, there can't be that many legitimate names working in the field, even in California.
What are you trying to get at, Mr. Bonner?
The truth, Miss Drummond. Why did you introduce Malik to everyone you knew here as Jared Ruggles, and why did you let them think you just met when, in fact, it's known you were together in California?
All right. It's true, I did meet him out there.
Whose idea was it, trying to keep that secret?
I'd rather not say.
I understand how you felt about him, but there's no sense protecting him now, if that's what you're doing.
You're right. It's just that...
Go on.
Lawrence said he'd got into some kind of trouble and had to come back east with another name. The name was my idea. You see, I did try to get an interview with Ruggles, but he turned me down flat. I suppose it was a vindictive thing to do, but I figured that if Lawrence got into any more trouble, Ruggles would be dragged into it too.
What kind of trouble was Lawrence in?
He didn't tell me, and I didn't ask.
There's more to it than that, isn't there?
What do you mean?
Lawrence was working for Jarrett. I hope you're not going to tell me you didn't know about that.
All right, Mr. Bonner.
All right what, Miss Drummond?
If you want the truth, Ruggles was using him like a guinea pig, put him through a whole series of punishing experiments that made him quite ill, and threw him out of the program when he didn't need him anymore.
Did Lawrence hate Jarrett for that?
Lawrence was not a hating person. What are you suggesting?
Nothing. Only that Jarrett is still missing.
Is he really? Well, quite frankly, I don't care.
What do you think might have happened to him?
Why ask me? Judging from what I knew of him, I'd say there were quite a number of people who'd be glad to see him disappear forever. The people he worked with, for instance.
Anyone in particular?
Try them all if you're so interested.
I think you know that would be a complete waste of time.
Look, Mr. Bonner, I don't know what you're after, but you're certainly not going to get me to say that Lawrence had anything to do with Ruggles' disappearance.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
Did Lawrence leave you a letter or tape or anything like that?
What do you mean, anything like that?
Just something to clarify his actions.
What actions?
I don't know. What he'd been doing up to the time he died.
You mean a confession?
You said it, I didn't.
Well, we may as well call a spade a spade. But if I had such a thing, do you really think I'd have kept it? And if I had, do you really think I'd trot it out for you?
I don't mean to be brutal, Miss Drummond, but Lawrence is dead, you know. What you can tell me now might prevent another tragedy.
Excuse me, Mr. Bonner, but Lawrence is still very much alive
yes,
to me.
Yes, of course, I realize that.
If you don't mind, I'm really very busy.
There was one other thing.
Haven't you got enough now, Mr. Bonner? I tried to speak as distinctly as possible.
I beg your pardon?
I take it you're new at this game, Mr. Bonner. I'm afraid it shows.
Right girl, Mr. Bonner.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, I don't mean your microphone shows, but the fact that you're carrying one does.
What makes you think that?
You didn't come up here to trap me into saying that Lawrence killed Ruggles just for the amusement value, did you?
Uh-huh.
All right.
All right, what?
All right, I am carrying a recording device, and I'm sorry it has to be this way.
So am I.
But about the accident on the sled, I mean, will you tell me if it happened exactly as you said it did?
I made an official statement. I'm not prepared to make another one.
You were in the hospital, still in shock. There might have been details that only come back to you later.
I remembered everything that happened that night, Mr. Bonner, everything.
Did you know that Lawrence was on some kind of drugs?
Is this another trap?
The coroner found traces in his bloodstream.
Really?
I was wondering if you were going to get to that.
You told me you didn't take anything.
What sort of traces?
I don't know that.
Well, neither do I. I wouldn't necessarily believe everything you're told.
I don't.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I was just about to take my laundry down to the basement.
Are you going to wash those books, too?
Oh, I like to keep occupied rather than just watch the machines go round.
The Times crossword book. Is that the London Times?
That's right. Doing them reminds me of home.
I won't keep you any longer.
Oh, that's good of you, Mr. Bonner. Forgive me, but I can't say that the pleasure's been all mine.
Ah, not bad, Mr. Bonner.
Thank you.
You really had her on the run.
Is that all?
Yeah, just a minute. There's a bit I'd like you to hear again.
Prepared to make another one.
We're in the hospital. Still in shock.
Yeah, not there. Now, what was that sound?
I don't know. I didn't really notice it. Maybe somebody dropped something in the hall.
Could it have been in the apartment?
You think there was someone else listening in?
No.
Then why do you ask?
I'm just checking, Mr. Bonner, just checking. So, what was your general impression?
My general impression is that the whole thing stinks. You included.
That shows your learning, Mr. Bonner.
Here's your coffee, and your chicken salad sandwich, and your change for the phone.
Thanks. I'll be right back. Hello, Marion. It's me again.
Oh, Richard.
Have you heard anything from Jared?
Not a thing. Have you?
Marion, I wonder if you'd do something for me. Would you go out and find a payphone?
Payphone? Oh, I see.
The number here is 978-4283.
978-4283.
Uh-huh. You know the area code?
Yes.
I'll wait right here.
Oh, it shouldn't take me more than a few minutes.
Yeah.
Right, here I am. Take my phone's being tapped.
Correct.
Is it Julie Jarrett?
Right. Something I need to know, Marion. Did Jarrett get any threatening letters or phone calls before he disappeared?
Well, if he did, he didn't tell me.
Any suspicious characters lurking around the house or following your car?
Now that I... Hey, wait a minute. There were a couple of strange callers a few weeks before. I gather Jarrett wasn't very happy to see them. Does that count?
Did you talk to them?
Well, I answered the door and they introduced themselves, that's all.
What did they look like?
Sure weren't selling Bibles. G-men types, I'd say. Anonymous, well-dressed, smooth-talking, and tough. Know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So what happened?
Well, we went into Jared's study. After a while, I heard Ray's voices. Wouldn't have said they were just shooting the breeze.
Did Jared say anything after they'd gone?
Oh, he just passed it off. Said something about running out of prizes to hand out for stupidity.
One other thing, Marion. This project Jared was supposed to be working on, could it have been a front for some federal agency?
What do you mean, front?
I don't know. I really don't.
I certainly don't see how the FBI and the CIA would be interested in something as intangible as Jarrett's project.
Neither do I.
Richard, what on earth is going on?
I wish I knew that, too.
You will keep me posted.
I sure will. Now, you try not to worry.
Thanks a lot.
Nice shop you've got here, Mr. Bonner.
Oh, boy.
Real old-fashioned.
Thank you. Come to buy a book?
Not exactly.
And if you don't mind, I got a lot of cataloging to do.
Oh, by the way, one of my boys happened to be passing that little cafe on East Street, you know, the one where you made the phone call. He got really curious about what you were seeing.
Why, can't he read lips?
You wouldn't like to satisfy his curiosity, would you?
How can I? I don't even know the guy.
I hope that you're not putting funny ideas into Marion Ruggles' head.
It's mutual. Jarrett was working on something for you, wasn't he?
What makes you think that?
Because a couple of your pals out on the coast were trying to push him around.
You've got the wrong end of the stick.
Have I? Just wondering when you're going to start pushing me around.
Easy, fella.
For all I know, you made Jarrett disappear.
Yeah, I wish you could trust me.
Oh, I'm sorry. It must be a character failing in me, but I just can't.
Well, supposing I were to tell you a little story. A little hypothetical story that you'd forget as soon as you heard it. Would you change your mind?
It'd have to be a pretty convincing story, hypothetical or otherwise.
Okay, well, let's just say that, hypothetically, there's this scientist who's been working on a way to increase normal perception, kind of break down our barriers and inhibitions.
How?
Well, by using chemicals, not necessarily new ones, but in certain combinations and administered in certain ways and at certain time intervals.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yes, hypothetically speaking. Now, just imagine, hypothetically speaking, how useful something like that could be to the kind of guy in certain sensitive areas who has to think fast and make the right decisions.
Oh, you mean like your kind of guy?
You might say that, hypothetically speaking.
So you can create a kind of Superman surveillance force.
Oh, don't get me wrong. This stuff doesn't give you muscles or make you fly.
Still don't like the idea.
Well, that is kind of beside the point, isn't it?
As this is a hypothetical story.
Right.
So where's the cash?
Well, let's just say that, hypothetically speaking, the combination works differently on some people than others. On some people, it produces an allergic reaction.
What kind of reaction?
Hallucinations, symptoms of paranoia, the heebie-jeebies, that sort of thing.
Some allergy.
So, of course, it'd have to be tested out very thoroughly.
I can see that.
Oh, he wouldn't want anyone taking this stuff flipping his wig in the middle of an important assignment, hypothetically speaking, that is.
Or otherwise.
So, in this story, the scientist gets asked very politely several times to get it together with a team of reliable doctors to iron out the kinks, but the scientist refuses, saying that it's his baby, he's going to see it through all alone, no matter what. Then, all of a sudden, this scientist disappears with all his notebooks and findings. Mm-hmm. Imagine how embarrassing it could be if he turned up telling tales out of school, you know what I mean?
Yes, I think I do.
So, how do we finish the story? Has he been abducted, fallen down a well, tried to leave the country? Then comes a routine report that somebody named
Jarrett Ruggles
has been found frozen to death on a mountain. Need I go on?
Thank you for the story.
What story?
Those traces that were found in Lawrence Malick, did they correspond to your hypothetical ones?
Impossible to say. We can name some of the components, but we don't know the combinations.
But you think they do correspond?
Well, I'm nodding, but I'm not saying anything.
So, if there were still traces in his body close to the time he died, then Jarrett must have been administering them.
Now, why do I need to do any thinking when I got you to do it for me?
Unless Jarrett showed someone else how.
Mind if I have a look around? I got a nephew who's crazy about vintage comic books.
We don't stock any.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, you go on doing whatever you were doing, and I'll just poke around for a while, if you don't mind. I love old books myself.
Be my guest.
This crazy weather. What do you want for supper? Richard, supper?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
What you said.
What did I say?
What did you say?
Supper.
Yeah.
How about potted armadillo?
Fine.
Richard, what are you doing?
I'm thinking.
You don't say. I'll give you a penny for them.
For what?
I'd like to have a word with your pal Krieger. He's really turning you inside out.
Okay, Louise, let's just suppose it at first.
We're back to the supposing game, aren't we?
Supposing, in the beginning, Lawrence Malick had agreed to take these drug chemicals, hoping to achieve his goal of total consciousness.
Okay.
But suppose he found instead that they were turning him crazy.
Okay.
What or who could have persuaded him to go on taking the stuff?
Do I get three guesses?
If Malick couldn't take them himself and Jarrett wasn't around, Who would that leave?
Two guesses.
Is there any way Julie Drummond couldn't have known about the experiments?
One guess.
If she was administering the stuff, knowing what it could be doing to Malik, what would you say about her?
I'd say she's an evil bitch.
But it still doesn't explain why she got on that sled with him unless...
Unless what? Who are you calling?
I gotta talk to Marion again.
Well, remember who's listening, and don't say anything subversive.
Hello?
Marion, it's me, Richard. Sorry to bother you again so
soon.
Oh,
that's okay. Any news?
Not yet, but a couple of questions just crossed my mind. I was wondering if you could help me with them.
Oh, sure, try.
If you'd heard that Jared had died in New Hampshire the way Lawrence Malik had, would you have believed it?
Sorry, Richard. What do you mean?
I mean, would you have believed that Jared would have done something as dangerous as getting on a sled in the middle of the night?
Well, I wouldn't lie to believe he was on it with another woman, but apart from that, yes. As a matter of fact, that's just what we did on our honeymoon in Colorado. Mind you, I was scared stiff, but it was very romantic.
I see.
I'm afraid I don't.
One other thing, Marion. Did Jared leave a will?
Well, yes, sort of. It was more like a letter, really.
Did you see it?
Yes. Gave it to me to keep just before I went into the hospital last time. Said he didn't want me worrying about anything. But if anything happened to him, he was leaving me everything.
Did he indicate what he thought might happen to him?
No. It only seemed he wanted to reassure me that there wouldn't be any legal hassle.
You didn't think that kind of an odd time to raise the subject?
Was the right time to do it?
No, I guess not. And that was all there was in the letter?
Not quite. There was a request that when he did die, his body should be cremated and the ashes buried in his old hometown. Oh, your old hometown, Asheville.
Are you sure of that, Marion?
Oh, yes, I'm sure. Check it again if you want me to.
No, that's all right. But doesn't it strike you as kind of funny he'd want to be buried there? I mean, he doesn't have anyone left in town. He always hated the place. Couldn't wait to get out, he must have told you that.
Yeah, sure, but... Well, I guess I thought he had a sudden attack of sentiment.
Jared?
Oh, Richard, what is this all about?
Marion, I swear I'll tell you as soon as I possibly can.
You'd better, because I'm getting brain strain trying to puzzle out all your questions.
Oh, Marion, speaking of puzzles, did Jared still do crosswords?
Oh, yes. They were his only way of relaxing. Especially like those hard English ones.
Thanks, Marion.
What?
I'll be in touch soon. Promise. I really don't think she's going to want to know.
Know what, Richard? What in heaven's name's going through your mind?
Think about it, Louise. Why would Jared want to make sure that no one who knew him saw Lawrence Malik's body?
Well, because of the drug business, I suppose.
I mean, no one who knew Jared.
Oh, Jared, for goodness sake... Sorry. Richard, for goodness sake, you've got me so confused. I don't know who's what.
That is just the point. You know, you weren't far off with the germ theory. It was a setup, all right. You just got the villains wrong.
Did I really?
I was quick. Hello?
Why, hello there, Mr. Bonner. Excuse me bothering you at home, but I just happened to hear quite an interesting conversation.
You don't say.
And my car's right outside. You mind if we chew it over a little bit more?
Why not?
Hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Oh, your delicacy is touching. I'll be right down.
Krieger?
Right. You'd better hold the stewed armadillo.
Potted, Richard. Potted.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Shove it, Krieger.
I wish you'd call me by my first name.
You never told me what it is.
Didn't I? Anyway, about the phone conversation.
Don't you ever get embarrassed eavesdropping?
My natural curiosity overcomes it. I figure yours does, too, and that we're thinking about the same thing. About the crossword puzzle book, I mean.
So what else did you want to talk about?
Nothing, only to say that it'd be better for all concerned if you forget any of this happened.
I suppose I don't.
Well, now.
I want to talk to him.
What, now?
Yes, now.
Well, I'm not exactly set up for it yet.
You're not in on this.
Well, what are you trying to do, fella? Muscle in on my act?
Aren't you forgetting that without my identification of Malik's body, you wouldn't have an act?
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Jared is my oldest and used to be my best friend. I want to hear what he has to say without any pressure from you or anybody else. If there's the benefit of any doubt, I've got to know it. After that, you can do what you like with it.
Well, okay, but we're going to have to keep you covered from the outside. I just hope you know him as well as you think.
That's what I aim to find out.
Do you want a gun?
Don't be silly.
I'll pick up some men on the way.
There's no need to make a production of it.
You might be surprised. I will stay clear, but if you're not out in half an hour, we're coming in after you. You got it?
Got it.
Mr. Vonner.
Miss Drummond. Think you can guess why I've come?
Is anyone with you?
Not in the building.
I'll have to search you.
I'm not carrying anything.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vonner, but I can't just take your word for that.
No, of course not. All right. How's Jared?
As well as can be expected under the circumstances. He wants to see you, too.
Good.
By the way, did anyone actually see me with Lawrence or Jared on the coast?
Not that I know of. That was a trap.
I suppose I shouldn't have fallen for it. But there was always that chance, though Jared and I were very careful. What's the matter?
Kind of tickles.
I'll be finished in a moment.
Lawrence never was in trouble out there, was he?
No.
You know, you really are quite an actress. You almost had me believing you were trying to protect him.
It wasn't difficult. You wanted to believe he'd disposed of Jarrett.
And you nearly had me fooled with that my love cannot die routine. Didn't you ever want to bite your tongue?
Right, Mr. Bonner. I'm satisfied you're clean.
But that part about Lawrence being Jarrett's guinea pig was true, wasn't it?
Yes.
Didn't Lawrence ever object to being stuffed with all those drugs?
Oh, towards the end, he didn't really know what was going on.
Didn't that bother you at all?
What do you want me to say, Mr. Bonner? Lawrence was an extraordinary guy. He had a funny kind of integrity that I admired, but it's true. I didn't love him. It was sad to see him go to pieces, but no one could say how much that was due to the experiments and how much to the fact that he'd been living in limbo so long.
A touching eulogy.
Shall we go down to the boiler room now?
I'm ready.
By the way, I do the Times crosswords as well. Not that that's of any interest to you now.
Why you and Jarrett?
Oh, it had to be Jarrett. It was altogether something new in my life. He knew exactly where he was going. I knew exactly where I wanted to go. We understood each other straight away.
Aren't you even going to claim he used you?
Not at all. Jarrett knew I wanted power just as much as he did. He understood that I meant to use him, too.
You're talking about him as though he was dead.
There's no need to sound so smug, Mr. Bonner. Neither of us are finished yet. The only safe place in the building is in the superintendent's room. I told him I needed it for my work, and I paid him enough to tell anyone who asked he was still using it.
Jarrett?
Good to see you, Richard. Even like this.
Shall I stay?
You might as well. Richard and I have no secrets, or do we?
Not too many. After all, I used to be able to read your thoughts.
And can you now?
If you'll be open with me.
Why not? What have I got to lose?
At this point, not much.
We'll see about that.
Marion told me about your will.
Did she?
Must have been an awkward time to spring it.
I had no choice.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you, Richard? What else do you see?
Until then, it worried me why it was so important to make it look like the false Jared Ruggles had no West Coast connections.
But now you know. Or think you know.
I suppose Lawrence Malick was even grateful to you for lending him your name for cover. Did he ever ask why you were being so generous?
He was very trusting. I told him he couldn't be Richard Bonner in Boston. He had to be somebody.
Body being the operative word. You waited for Marion to go into the hospital so there'd be no risk of her coming east to make an identification. Then you pulled your disappearing act. You reappear in New Hampshire on a morgue slab, or so everyone was supposed to think. And once the body had been cremated, who was to say it wasn't you?
Who indeed?
Malick was tailor-made. As far as anyone was concerned, he was already dead. And once his remains had been shipped off to dear old Asheville, you could use his identity with virtually no risk.
Pretty clever, you'll have to admit.
Very clever, and it very nearly worked, didn't it? What a shame Malick happened to be carrying my phone number in his coat pocket.
A shame, but these things will happen.
Why did he want to get in touch with me?
You're supposed to be the thought reader.
If you didn't actually give him my number, you must have indicated how I could be found. Did you tell him about our amateur telepathy?
I suppose I must have.
Maybe he thought I could explain what you were doing to him.
Well, we'll never know now, will we?
And I still don't understand why he took my book.
He didn't. Jared asked me to go to your shop and have a look at you, just to see how you were. I took the book. I'm sorry. I would have paid for it, but it was far more than I could afford.
Oh, don't bother to apologize.
Very well, I won't.
So after that, you took Malick up to the cabin while Jared stayed out of sight and waited for a fresh snowfall.
You got a cigarette on you? Thanks. I gave these up for a while, but there's nothing much else to do down here except read and do crossword puzzles.
And then you went up to the cabin and killed him.
A light blow at the base of the skull, that was all. By the time I got there, Malik was so far gone, he didn't even recognize me.
It was a mercy to him, really.
Oh, really?
Perhaps we could discuss the moral issues on a less pressing occasion.
You must have dumped Malik's body under the sled outside, then got back to the village while it was still snowing so your tracks would be covered.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Leaving your friend here to make it look like an accident after the snow had stopped. I have to admit she has got nerves.
Not really. I just knew what had to be done.
But weren't you kind of overdoing it? If I'd been in your place, I'd have gotten on the sled with the body, started it down the slope, and rolled clear before the ravine. As long as you'd gone for help right away, no one would have doubted your story.
That's just how it was meant to be, Mr. Bonner. Only one thing didn't go according to plan. I got caught up in a steering rope and couldn't get free in time.
Congratulations on your performance in the hospital. You must have been winging it all the way.
I thought you were enjoying it.
Apart from the fact that she nearly got killed, it would have provided the perfect touch to the whole operation. That is, if the body had been disposed of in time.
But it hasn't been disposed of yet, and it can still be examined for bruises.
Sorry, Richard, but after a fall like that, there's no way of proving how any of the bruises got there. In fact, there's nothing at all that can be proved. And if it comes to it, we'll naturally deny everything. So you may as well let it rest.
I'm sorry, too, Jared, but my sense of justice won't let me.
I didn't want to do it. Believe me, if there'd been any other way, I wish you could understand how important it was for me to stop being Jared Ruggles long enough to get out of the country.
There must have been an easier way.
You don't understand these people the way I do. They wouldn't stop at anything to keep me here.
Just for your mind-bending drugs?
Not just mind-bending, Richard. You're taking as narrow a view as they do. With its proper application, there are no limits to the expansion of the brain's capacity. What a waste to leave it in the hands of one bunch of goons for the purpose of scrutinizing another bunch of goons.
Where were you going with it?
Well, let's just say I'd been invited to a country where they're rather less fussy about methods of experimentation. More receptive to original thinking.
Every country has its goons, Jared. You should know that.
I was prepared to cross that bridge when I came to it.
And what about the side effects? Effects that drive people crazy, like Malik.
If I'd had sufficient opportunity to observe his reactions, it could have been turned to advantage.
What's happened to you, Jared? Or were you always like this?
What do you mean?
Doesn't anyone matter to you besides yourself? How could you leave a sick wife? Possibly dying. How could you murder a man who trusted you with no more compunction than you dispose of a sick animal? And don't tell me it was all for the sake of your research.
Why bother to explain, Jarrett?
As for Marion, we stopped being in love a long time ago. No amount of pretending or false sentiment could make that any different. And as for Lawrence Malik, I was sorry about him. He had natural gifts that could have been developed, but unfortunately, he didn't have the stamina.
Lawrence Malik was looking for the hand of the hunter. And what did he find? You.
I beg your pardon?
Ah, never mind.
You matter to me, Richard. Why do you suppose I had Julie come and see you?
You tell me.
Because we were best friends, and that feeling doesn't die.
Speak for yourself.
You asked if I'd changed. Well, sometimes circumstances change you in ways you can't resist. And now circumstances are turning me back to you.
What's this leading up to?
I need your help, Richard.
Ah.
I'm trapped. I know it. But you can hold them back. I don't want them bursting in here, waving their guns at me.
How can I hold them back?
Talk to them. Smooth things over.
Smooth what over?
Tell them I'll be a good boy. Even play with their doctors. I've got all my notebooks here. They can have them, provided they don't take me off the project.
You really think they'll buy that now?
Why not? Without me, it'll take them that much longer. Who knows what the opposition already has?
You think that's enough to make them overlook everything else?
Don't you? Come on, Richard. If it hadn't been for your interference, I'd be well away by now. Don't you think you owe me one last chance?
What'll they do to you when the project is complete?
That'll be another bridge I'll have to cross when the time comes. Well, what do you say?
All right, I'll talk to them.
Thank you.
But you better give me the notebooks.
No, Jared.
Just to show your heart is in the right place.
I don't know.
What else have I got to talk about? Besides, they'll be coming in after me soon, then you're on your own.
I guess you got me there.
Yeah, I guess I have.
Don't do it, Jared. Once they're out of your hands, they can do anything they like with us.
I'm sorry, my dear. It's a chance I'll have to take.
I hope you know what you're doing.
That's the best any of us can hope for. Now, here they are, Richard. You'll take good care of them, won't you?
Don't give it another thought.
Give my regards to Louise.
I'll do that. That's for you, Lawrence Malick. He's in the super's room, behind the furnace.
What about the research stuff?
He burned everything.
Son of a... Are you sure?
Take my word for it, you won't find a thing.
Right then, that's it. We're going in.
I hope you won't mind if I don't join you.
It's our baby now. Anyway, thanks for your help.
Please, don't mention it.
Well, I guess this is goodbye.
I sincerely hope so.
Is there anything I can do for you?
You can call me a cab. My wife's waiting dinner.
Sure thing. Is your wife a good cook?
Swell. She does a terrific potted armadillo.
The potted armadillo? You've got to be kidding.
I wouldn't kid you, Mr. Krieger. On second thoughts, it's turned out to be a fine night. I think I'll walk.
The Hand of the Hunter was written by Gaylord Meach. Richard was played by Gary Waldhorn. Krieger by John Turner. Louise, Kate Harper. And Onslow, Harry Taub. Julie was played by Melinda Walker. Marion by Ellen McIntosh. Jarrett Ruddles, Peter Marinka. Drummond, David Garth. Halva Malick, William Hope. Janice Malick, Lorna Lewis. And Lawrence Malick, Peter Whitman. The play was directed by Cherry Cookson.